I want to talk to us for a few minutes tonight. I'm going to make a call. I'm calling out, and probably this message is probably not to everybody here. It may be just to a very few that's here. But I'm going to make a call of need that we desperately have. And that is that we're going to make a call for intercessors. We need intercessors that will give their life to that gifting, that will give their life to that calling, that will literally move their life into that place to be able to respond to more to the Lord in the gift of intercession. So I'm going to talk to you about it tonight a little bit, and then I'm going to close tonight by asking the Holy Spirit to either for you to know that you have that calling, or God put an increased desire in us for that calling, that we will begin to respond. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we don't fight against flesh and blood. Now, we spend a lot of our time fighting flesh and blood. But the Bible says that that's not where God has placed us. We're to be spiritual people thinking in spiritual, with a spiritual mindset. And in the spiritual mindset, that our battles are really not. I mean, we want to think they are, but they're not with flesh and blood. They're not with people. But there are forces of darkness that have been set against your life, your family, your health, the completion of the will of God for you in your life, and your church, your city, your state, and your nation. Because these forces, the Bible says we fight against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness, high places, at least four levels of demonic powers that we're fighting against. And to be able to resist those are not usually dealt with just with general, normal type of praying. In general, normal type of praying, you're taking the word of God, standing on the word, and believing God to come through and his promises for you in life. But some things are warfare. And when it comes to fighting spirits, it's going to take a warfare. We need those in this body that will literally move into the next level of intercession. Many of you are involved in intercede. You intercede as a normal part of your daily prayer life. But I'm needing you as a pastor. I'm calling you to move into a deeper level. Because, see, for God to call us up, and that's what he's been doing for the last 3 years, God's been calling us up. For God to call us up, well, God's got to call us down, too. We've got to find a deeper level of intercession that's going to remove the barriers. Everybody say, remove the barriers. That remove the barriers and remove the hindrances that are trying to keep us from getting to that next level. And I only have confidence in one way. I don't think it's through smarter leadership. I don't think it's through more organization. I don't think it's through me getting a new hair design. I really think it's going to only come through prayer. That's the only confidence that I have. The only confidence for the salvation of the church of Jesus Christ today is prayer. The only confidence that I have in for believers coming out and coming through things is prayer. So in a church, if we're going to not only survive, but if we're going to complete God's will and purpose that God has brought us together to do, then we're going to have a more base prayer. We're going to have a deeper intercession and a wider base of intercession for God to do something wonderful. Now, there's different levels of intercession, so I'm not here tonight to really talk to you much about those. I want to talk to you about at least one deeper level, and I just want to throw it out before us, and I want to see what the Holy Spirit will call in your heart. God led us into this year by reintroducing us to the wonderfulness of the Holy Spirit. How many of you enjoyed the wonderfulness of the Holy Spirit? Go ahead and give the Lord a clap offering. You just appreciate the Holy Spirit so much. And so the Lord began this year by starting us off into, it's almost like a new adventure. It's almost like you went up and had your marriage vows done again, and you're starting it out brand new again. And it, with the Holy Spirit. So it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. But it goes beyond that experience of joy. And it goes beyond the experience of a greater expression, possibly a prayer. God now wants to, I believe, the Holy Spirit wants to define a special group that will move into a much deeper place of intercession. And to do that, it's going to take a yielding. It's going to take a greater yielding of ourselves to the Spirit of God. Now, we started this conversation some months ago talking about God wanted to bring us to a new level of spiritual hearing. And how many of you have been hearing the Lord in a deeper level, a different way? But not only does he want to bring us to a new level of hearing, God wanted to bring us to a new level of seeing. And God not only wanted to bring us to a new level of seeing, but God wanted to bring us to a newer level of thinking and a newer level of dreaming, a deeper level of dreaming. And God wanted to bring us into a deeper level of sensing. And God, it manifests in a lot of wonderful ways in our life. But God, I believe God does all of this out here to bring it to a focal point where God can use it in prayer. I believe the Lord wanted to bring us all deeper in the Holy Spirit so that God could carry us deeper into prayer. Because God knows if it's going to be done, it's going to have to be prayed through. And someone is going to have to take that bull by the horns and going to have to wrestle that demon down. Now, I really believe, I don't think that we're unique in the sense that the forces of darkness are fighting against us. I think that Satan come down, he knows his days are short, and he's come down with a great evil, with a great vengeance. So I feel like a whole lot of churches, but according to that church's experience, are we able to interpret what's going on? But I really believe there's these forces of darkness that are literally moving against the church now. And not just this church. But I don't know if every church. But it's moving against this church and other churches in a much, much stronger way. And the prayer level that has brought us thus far will not carry us on. Now, I started this out a couple months ago, calling us to a 21-day fasting prayer because I felt danger for our children. And many of you responded to that and joined with us. And that's what's led us to what we've been talking about, praying the blood. How many have been using the blood in your prayer life? Shame on you if you haven't been, but praise God if you have been. And using that blood. See, that blood has the power to literally paralyze the demons of darkness. And that blood has the power to emit the very life of God and the grace of God, the strength of the Lord in our life. So you use that blood. You don't have to understand all spiritual things in depth to be able to use them. Because no one here can explain God to the fullest. But every day, God's involved in our life. And so you may not understand all about the blood of Jesus for you to use it. But it's vitally important for you to use the faith that you have and the knowledge that you have, but use that blood against the enemy. Because the Bible says when it comes to the type of demonic warfare that we're fighting in the last day, the thing that's going to overcome him is going to be the blood of the Lamb and the word of our declaration over that blood. It's going to be our declaration of our faith of what that blood has done. So it got to change our prayer life. It literally has got to change our prayer life. It's got to change our faith life. We've got to begin to use that blood in opposing the enemy. Now, some people get caught up in the way you said. I don't care if we say pleading the blood, applying the blood, or faith in the blood. Because primarily those three words are meaning the same thing. So some of you may say, I'm declaring I have faith in my blood. Devil, I'm not going to let you do this to my family. I'm going to declare my faith in the blood of Jesus that's able to stop you and resist you. And then others of you may say, I'm going to apply the blood. And you're going to get a mental picture of a saint of old, of Exodus chapter 12. And you stand there over your household and taking that blood of Jesus and making that cross. And in the name of Jesus, you make your stand and declaration and say, the devil cannot come over my threshold. The devil cannot come. Evil cannot come into my house because the blood is applied. And then others of you may use the word plead, which is a legal term. When you may say, as the enemy is trying to tell you what's going to happen to your life, what's going to happen to your family, what's going to happen to your future, then you will literally use the blood of Jesus as a plea. You'll be, I plead the blood. And it's just like you standing before the great court of all, and you declare, I plead the blood. Why do you plead? Do you plead guilty? Do you plead innocent? I plead the blood. I plead the blood. And as we plead the blood, it's a strong, it's a powerful, powerful, powerful release of God's power. And so the only way you're going to ever increase your faith in the blood is you're going to have to take scriptures that are relating to the blood. Now, there's multitudes of scriptures relating to the blood, because there's certain words in the, especially in New Testament and Old Testament, that without saying B-L-O-O-D, they mean that. When you see the word covenant, when you see the word lamb, when you see the word altar, all of these are words that are synonymous with that word blood. So it's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. And so it's just real important that you come out with however, but anyway, is to take scriptures that are talking about the power of that blood, and then you meditate. Everybody say meditate. You meditate on those scriptures. The power of God, the revelation of God, it must go from knowledge to revelation. Scripture is most powerful to you when it's revelation. But what has to happen is you have to first see it as knowledge. And you see a scripture there, and it says that through his blood, that Jesus took stripes on his back. Let's say for his healing, we just pray for Dwayne. That through those stripes on his back, that blood purchased healing. Well, as I would meditate there on the book of Peter over that, then God will begin to release a revelation or release faith into my life over that. As I just begin to meditate, and you meditate simply by just looking at that scripture, thinking about that scripture, muttering that scripture, speaking that scripture over and over in your heart, and conscious awareness that God is going to reveal something wonderful to you about it. And then as meditation takes place, then faith begins to grow in something. So to have a much deeper level of faith in the blood, it's going to take some meditation. But start where you are. Everybody says, I'm starting where I am. I'm starting where I am. I'm using that blood to apply that blood over my life, over my future, over my family, over all of those that I love, over my church family, over my city, over my state, over my nation, and over the purposes of God that God has called us to in this world. So you've got to apply that blood and just use that blood with wherever you are on it. Just use that term and begin to apply and have faith or have faith that blood and declare your faith. Man, just declare it and let it go from a prayer time, a morning prayer time, till all the time. I mean, that's why you pray without ceasing. You don't change your mind. So you're not praying without ceasing when you make declarations in your morning prayer and then you spend the rest of the day doubting them. See, that's not consistent prayer. Continual prayer is when I set my faith and then I spend the rest of that day not changing my mind. God said it. I believe it. I'm going to receive it. I believe right now that blood is working. See, some of you see yourself sitting in a church pew and you just think, well, I'm just not on law here. But not so with meditating on the blood. God's blood is working in us right now. God's creating in me desire and power for him. God's creating this new life in me. Right now, God's doing that. And when you begin to live with the consciousness of that blood and its life at work at you all the time, then we're having a continuous prayer. All right, now I want to talk to you just a few minutes on that intercessor, carrying it now to a next level. All right, spiritual warfare. Jeremy, are you coming there? Okay. We're going to talk about the first thing I need to do. I need to identify the enemy that's assaulting us. Now, a lot of people get caught up in names. You can get caught up in names if you want to. You can call it an Absalom spirit. You can call it a Jezebel spirit. You can call it a Python spirit or whatever. All right, but I tell you, it's the enemy. The enemy kind of fits all of them. But the thing, but you begin to identify that the enemy is assaulting. Now, there are times, I believe, where it's really important to recognize which enemy it is that's fighting. And at times, the Holy Spirit will come to your aid, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what it is that you're fighting. I want to call for those that's willing to go in that next level of prayer. That you're not just willing to claim promises of God, but you're willing now to move and allow the Holy Spirit to move in and direct you into some intercession in the Spirit. And at those points, you're going to have to be willing to try your wings. You're going to have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to cause you to sense some things that you haven't sensed possibly before or recognized before. You're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And you're going to say, can that be the Lord? Instead of just writing it off. Because the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is going to intercede through you, He's going to carry you into a deeper way that He's going to talk to you. And some things are going to be felt and some things are going to be telt. But the important thing is you got to expand yourself. You got to let the Holy Spirit expand you. And you begin to say, well, can this be what I'm sensing? Can this be the Holy Spirit? You begin to try the spirits. You got to let the Lord do that. Because if you stay just operating prayer out of your noodle, your prayer will never get any stronger than it is right now. You're never going to be able to handle any greater battles. You've got to let the Holy Spirit, and you've got to try, everybody say trust. Somebody jump up to your feet and say trust. I just want somebody to just jump up. Trust. You got to trust the Holy Spirit. You got to trust. Come on, let's say it out loud. Trust. We got to trust the Holy Spirit. So you can set it back down. You got to trust the Holy Spirit. You got to trust the Holy Spirit to lead you in to the type of warfare that God has equipped you for. Now, when you think about special black ops groups that go in, each one of them, each person of that group is highly specific in certain areas of warfare. And so if God's going to help, if God's going to work in you, God's going to make you specific. He's going to use you in some special ways. Now, that doesn't mean He'll use you in the same way all the time, but He wants to use you in some very special ways. So the first thing you begin to do, you begin to desire for the Holy Spirit to carry you into a deeper level of intercession to where that you're no more held in by the natural realm, but where that you begin to be influenced from a supernatural realm. And then you begin to pray in accordance with that. And you begin to trust that. You begin to trust that where the Holy Spirit is leading me, that where the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit's wanting to say through me, what the Holy Spirit's wanting to pray through me, what the Holy Spirit's wanting me to see, wanting me to rejoice. See, the Holy Spirit is going to bring you into, we call it prophetic prayer, but it's really just deeper levels to me of intercessory prayer, where God wants to bring you. There are ways of releasing God that are further than I may have been taken advantage of in the past. And God wants to train. He wants to train my hands for what does the Bible say? He wants to train them for war, and He wants to make my fingers what? And God wants to train. Not only now am I going to be able to line up my mouth with what God wants me to say, but God wants to develop an arsenal. Hebrews chapter 5:7 says, who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears. That's the way Jesus prayed. You've got to get another idea of what Jesus kind of praying it is. And so many times we get our little ideas of the way Jesus prayed. This is the way Jesus prayed. This is what the scripture said. This is the way He prayed loudly, and it was crying going on. It was intercession. That's the way Jesus prayed. And when the disciples came to Christ, they could have asked Him for a lot of things. But the thing that marked Jesus more than any other thing was He prayed differently than the people that they had been around. Because when they came, they said, teach us to pray. They could have said, teach us to preach. Or they could have said, teach us to teach. Or they could have said, teach us to heal. But that wasn't the thing that got their attention. The thing that got their attention was that Jesus prayed differently than evidently any person that they had known. So they said, Lord, no one else knows how to pray like this. And so they said, Lord, teach us to pray. No, so you gotta let your conscience also deal with you in this area. I mean, I know, man, it's embarrassing to me at times where the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit begins to move me in prayer or move you in prayer, it'll be some embarrassing moments. But you just gotta determine, am I gonna be a prayer like Jesus, or am I gonna be a prayer like me? Am I gonna pray in my comfort zone? Or am I really going to become a prayer person like Jesus? Am I going to be able to be identified? That's why it was so important that when we came up here, that the voices be... See, God's given you a voice, and that voice needs to be heard in heaven. And it's so important when we gather around that phone here. That's a vital importance. Somebody said, I'll just stay here and just pray in my seat. You may can. But your voice didn't. See, our voices release each other's faith. Our voices release power and glory of God. And it's just important. It's important to realize that if I'm going to pray like Jesus, so what you need to do? Need to do like I did. I went over to White Oak Lake, carried a camper, went on those trail walks and went way up into to the top of that little area up there, took rocks and piled them up on that mountain. I was wanting to learn to pray like Jesus because I was so embarrassed in my prayers. You've got to come over the flesh if you're going to allow the Holy Spirit to use you in real gifted intercession. Because God wants you to laugh at the devil when other people are crying. And God's going to have some of you dancing around when other people are still just standing still. God's going to have you at times drop to the floor and begin to weep and cry when everybody else is sitting in their seat and reserved. If God's going to use you as somebody specific in prayer and specific as in, I said again, I'm not talking to everybody here tonight, but I need those that will lay aside the garments of embarrassment, to lay aside the garments of the flesh and begin to say, God, I need you by the Holy Spirit to lead me into a depth of prayer that I've never, ever known before. I mean, we all find a comfort zone. In the comfort zone is also our pride zone. Because we usually pride ourselves in the way we do it. And we say, that's the way we do it. That's the way we do it. That's the way we do it. And in that essence of our fear is that essence of pride. And God, if God's going to use you to knock hell out of the darkness and knock the devil out of the ways that he's coming against people's lives. And if God's going to use you as his secret agents, black op group that's going to go in behind the scenes and going to eradicate some cancers off of people's lives and see some things turned around, God has got to be able to depend on you. They tell me to be a SEAL, you have to stand something like 36 hours. You have to be able to stay alert and stay active and stay so ready to fight for 36 hours. You can't give way to sleep. I tell you, if God wants us to do some things, he's going to have to train us to do some things. But that's what the scripture says. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. The next scripture we begin to talk about. Psalm 144 said, blessed be the Lord who trains my hands. God is the trainer. God is the trainer. God wants to train my hands to war. And he's a good trainer. Man, God is a good trainer. If I will allow the Holy Spirit will train. He'll train my hands to war and he'll train my fingers to fight. God will literally make a person. You know, they talk about that as far as the special forces, that they're like their whole body is like a weapon. And that's what literally God meant for us. God meant if Satan came into this thing, when the Bible talks about Lucifer and about his his existence back before he became Satan, it talked about him being so musically inclined. And some scholars even say that his whole body was a musical instrument. Evidently, they say that he could very well have been the praise leader of heaven. And being his body was an instrument that could be used in praise. Well, I'm here to tell you that God is looking for some people that will allow your body to be an instrument of praise and will allow your body to be trained to be an instrument of war. There's some powerful things in the Word of God, throughout the Word of God, where that God expressed his power, not only through the voice, but God expressed his power through a lifted hand. Or God expressed his power through a clap in a hand. Or God expresses his power in heaven through a dance, in fact. But what I'm just telling you, God wants to be led by the Holy Spirit to where God begins to bring our prayer life alive. To where it's not just claiming promises, which are good in themselves, but God wants to carry us to a next level. To where that God can begin to demonstrate his power and release his power through very unique ways inside of our lives. All right, the Bible says here that God will train. Everybody say, He trains. He trains my hands to war. And I'll go to Psalms 18, what's that? He teaches my hands. Really, this scripture is in there approximately. It's these two times almost verbatim, and then there's at least one other time it's loose. So it's three times in the Bible. God's telling me He wants to train my body to be an instrument of war. That God wants to train me. God wants to take my hands. And we can all allude to various scriptures in the Bible. I love when we find about Jehoshaphat when sent the praiser down. We think about the little praise team that went out there. But truly, they was yielded to one form of praise. And it was a level of praise that when they began to raise their hands and praise God. It was the word yada, not todah. It was the word yada praise. That when they began to lift their hands and praise God, the Bible said immediately God fought for them. I see there are some things that God wants to happen in our prayer life that will cause immediate reactions in heaven and cause immediate things to take place. Now, the Lord, to do this, first we got to identify. So you got to begin to identify. How many of you can sense that the spirit of darkness is kind of moving in the shadows? Can you sense that in your life? Can you sense that there's a spirit of darkness that's trying to move in and around the church? I'm going to tell you what, I truly believe this. I don't believe there's a person that's connected with this church now that's not being in some way influenced, positive or negative, by the forces of darkness. Either the forces of darkness are affecting the way you think, affecting the way you feel, affecting the way you talk, and either on the positive or the negative. Negative is if they're able to influence you and you believe their lies. On the positive, if they have brought recognition in you, this is the enemy, and I'm going to stand against this lousy devil, and I'm not going to give place to him. Because literally, when demon powers begin to move on, you can't trust what you feel at times. And you can't trust, you can't, because what the enemy does, he's a liar. And he begins to feed his anti-truths into our minds. And he's a master at causing people to follow little trails. And before you know it, if you begin to give yourself over, if you begin to allow that influence, he'll have you upset with everybody. He'll have you bothered over a few. And he'll have you ready to ring the necks of at least 10. I mean, what the enemy does, he comes to divide. He comes to separate and to form his divisions. And what you've got to do, you've just got to recognize the enemy. And there's just got to be an identification. Lord, I will identify. And then once you've identified that I can feel this darkness, or I can sense it, I know this darkness is launched against me, then you've got to make a decision. I'm going to enter into war to defeat this thing. I'm going to tell you, in any war, there are various battles. You win some, you lose some. They used to tell me, you win some, lose some get rained out. But whatever happens in that sense. But what you have to make a determine, I'm going to come out ultimately the winner of this thing. This spirit is not going to get me. This spirit is not going to get my future. It's not going to get my destiny. It's not going to get where God called me to. It's not going to get my purpose. It's not going to get my plan. It's not going to get any of those things. I've come to resist the enemy. We're going to take the last 10 minutes of this service, and we're just going to sit in the presence of the Lord. We're going to kind of start. It's a moment of intercession. I just want to give some of you an opportunity to desire a deeper place of intercession. And we just kind of started talking about it tonight, and we'll be talking about it some. But if you desire for the Lord to bring you in that deeper place, I pray that somewhere you say, yes, yes, Lord, help me to get to a place to where that this thing doesn't influence me. Because I tell you, this darkness has been sent to carry you down, to take you down. It's been sent to take you down. It's been sent to take your church down. And then it's been sent to take your family down. And it won't stop if you let it. It won't stop till it takes you down. Somewhere along the line, you've got to become spiritual in your thinking. Somewhere along the line. And you've got to recognize that the word of Paul was true. I don't fight flesh and blood. But this that I'm fighting is a real force of darkness that's been sent against me. And I want you to know something. You've brought great attention into the world of darkness. And the world of darkness is afraid of you. That's why he's launched so much against you. It's not because he has you. It's because he doesn't have you. It's the reason that he's fighting so hard. The reason that you're fighting so hard, because God only allows his most elite to face the darkest. God loves you. So we're going to sit for a few minutes and we're just going to sense the presence. Some of you may want to sit, right? It's about 7 minutes now to time of service. Some of you may want to sit longer than that. If you need a miracle from the Lord, I want to encourage you. You need to learn to draw in the sense of the anointing of God. You need to learn to draw whatever you need from the presence of God. If you're going to be an intercessor worth your salt, the presence of God must become so familiar to you. It's got to come into a place where you love the presence of God. You love the presence of God. Okay, Jeremy, let's go ahead and let's start. Let's dim the lights down. We're going to take just a few minutes of desiring for the Lord to bring us.
They heard a sound in Jesus' day, but they couldn't identify the sound. They missed it. They even heard the sound of John the Baptist. They heard the voice crying out, but they couldn't get it. You must hear the sound of the Spirit. You must hear the voice of God saying, "Come to me." You must hear him. You must hear the sound of heaven drawing you. You must hear the sound of his presence. You've got to get to that place where nothing matters but the voice, the sound. You must get there. It must drown out all else in your life. It must, all the cares, all of your other desires, all of your passions, everything else has to be brought down to a level where the loudest thing you hear is his voice saying, "Come, come, come." As you bring forth the sound of heaven, the Lord says, "I will begin to fill the atmosphere. And it will be not what you say. It will be who you are. It will be who you are. It will be who you are." You will no longer wonder what it means not to be able to minister or move because of the weighty presence. You will know my weighty presence, he says. You will know my glory. You must ask him to come. You must create an atmosphere for his Spirit. You must give him worth. You must value him above your next breath. You must ask him to come. You must cry out until the sound of heaven reaches earth. You must cry out until your voices are one with his. You must cry. You must cry. You must cry out for it.
about a week and a half ago, or 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago, to prepare these and been waiting for an hour to share these. But this is the revelation of what I feel like that we are under and many of your lives are under. And this is a wonderful, it's a wonderful declaration of the forces of darkness that we're in fighting against. And only have like 22 of these. Because if I don't want to be general information, because general information to the general Christian won't do anything. But this is information about where we are to those that will want to dedicate and have a desire for intercession, that have a desire to for the Holy Spirit to draw you into a much deeper place, that you will be able to listen to it and receive and understand. Many of you will understand what you're going through and why you've been so tired in the battle and why the struggle has been so hard. So I'm just going to move right back into it's time for service to be over, but those that continue to sit in the presence of the Lord, you continue to do so. And I'm just going to take these, I'm going to spread them out across this altar. And like I said, this is not for general public, but these are for people that won't have a desire to help us intercede through this moment, that have a desire to for God to bring forth the gift of intercession, to be able to stop the hand of darkness and begin to open up the glory of God for the Lord. So I'm going to spread them out across this front. If possibly there's more than what's needed here tonight, then I have a link that's on my personal phone that will carry you right to this. But it's a revelation of what I've been able to determine where we are. God bless you. Bring it back up and you're dismissed, or you can pray and spend time in the presence of the Lord more, whatever you desire to do. Or you come get one of these if you so desire. I'm going to also put a slip out there in the it'd be a notepad out in the foyer to where if you wanted one, you didn't get one, then you put your name on it. And I'll make sure that you get a link to it, or I get one prepared for you. We're all ready. June, could you run and get us a piece of paper and just put it out in the foyer and just remain out there, girl? You that wanted one, didn't get one, Jane will be out there to get your name on one. So she'll be out there whenever you desire to leave. She'll be out there too. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I went into this tonight, Lord, asking you only for 10. And here, Lord, we've had over 22, Lord, that desire to pray us through this season. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that.